Continuing now with the story through the weekend, and the Elena Kagan nomination means that she might be asked at her confirmation hearings when Miranda rights should be read to someone like the attempted Times Square bomber, when that person should be considered a U.S. citizen or just an enemy combatant, all legal issues. But the big news out of the alleged Times Square bombing story was from Attorney General Eric Holder, who said that there is a Pakistani Taliban connection to this bomber and that the Pakistani Taliban may have facilitated and organized the whole thing. Joining us now is David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent with the New York Times, joins us from Washington, D.C., author of The Inheritance, which is all about what President Obama inherits from the war on terror during the Bush administration. And here's something right off the bat. David Sanger, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Let's actually parse literally the words of Eric Holder, who spoke with NBC's Meet the Press yesterday. The evidence we've now developed, Holder says, shows that the Pakistani Taliban has directed this plot. They helped facilitate it. We know they helped direct it. And we're going to come up with evidence that show they helped to finance it. Now, does that have to mean that they totally organized this from the beginning, came and plucked this defendant out of his home in Connecticut and turned him into a radical terrorist? Or could it be something much, much looser than that and still satisfy what Holder is saying here?
I think it could be much looser. From the intel officials that I was speaking with last week, the picture we got was of a newly naturalized American citizen who, for personal, political, religious reasons, had come to turn against the U.S. and what it was doing, and went to Pakistan searching for a way that he could express this violently, but didn't immediately go to the Pakistani Taliban. In fact, went to some old friends and only eventually ends up in the hands of the TTP, as this group is known. And then they may well have done all of those things that Attorney General Holder said. But it wasn't as if they found him. He found them.
And is that to say that if you are a disgruntled in financial trouble, and this Faisal Shahzad was in some financial trouble, his home had been foreclosed on there in Connecticut, if you're disgruntled and potentially radicalizable, word is out in Pakistan that the Taliban will find you? Is that sort of the headline that's kind of hidden in what Holder is saying here?
Well, certainly the word is out that they may well be open to you. But, you know, it's a risky business for the Taliban, because if they see somebody coming in who's got an American passport, as Mr. Shahzad did, the good news about that for them is that he has free access back and forth to the United States, something that they've had a very difficult time doing, which is why you've seen so few attacks here. At the same time, they're deeply suspicious that he's a double agent, a CIA spy sent out to go penetrate the system. And so he likely would have been kept at some remove from all of the leadership of the TTP for fear that if, in fact, they had him wrong and he went back to the States, he would identify their location for the next predator strike.
Now, TTP is the acronym for the Pakistani Taliban, but it's also a bit of a catch-all for the main Islamic groups inside Pakistan, which are very distinct from the Taliban in Afghanistan, right?
They are very distinct. You know, the Taliban in Afghanistan have a long history that goes back, you know, literally more than a century, and they're part of the political culture as well as part of this violent, radical culture that we've come to know. The TTP, the Pakistani Taliban, are a very new invention. They only came about starting in around 2007. And they are focused not at all on Afghanistan, but about toppling the government in Pakistan and in Islamabad, which, as you and I have discussed before, is the far bigger strategic prize. I mean, after all, Pakistan's a country of 180 million people and 100 nuclear weapons,
right?
And Afghanistan is not, right? In this case, what's fascinating is that the TTP, having gone from being a regional insurgency, is now coming to the conclusion that if the U.S. is going after them with predators, they have to show that they can reach back to the United States. They didn't have that ambition a while ago.
Well, let's talk about that then. So is the strategic, takeaway here, if you're trying to design a policy that's going to deal with what Eric Holder described on Meet the Press over the weekend, Is it to try to win the hearts and minds of the Pakistani Taliban, be softer with the drones, more aid to Taliban leaders inside Pakistan? Or do you open a new Waziristan front in this whole war on terror, Dave Sanger?
This is the great debate, because the question literally comes down to, do you kill more Taliban leaders with these drone strikes, which have become increasingly accurate and increasingly effective, or do you create more radicals by doing these strikes, which, of course, enrage the Pakistani people, as you could imagine. Drone strikes would enrage Americans if it was happening on our territory, or any other country if it was happening on their territory. And that is a large debate I wrote about in the Week in Review this past Sunday. And no one really knows the answer to that, because it all gets to a question of how effective you think the drones are, and whether or not you think if you didn't do the drones, you might be attacked anyway. Huh. You know, George Bush used to make the point that there were no wars underway in Afghanistan, Pakistan, or Iraq on the morning of September 11th, 2001.
Right. Well, you know, it's a very complex question for U.S. policymakers. David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent with the New York Times. And as sort of implicitly he points out, all the Taliban has to do is hang out in the U.S. passport line there at Karachi Airport if they're looking for recruits. David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent with the New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.